First, you may be familiar with the concept of a doula. That's a non-medical support person who stays with an expectant mother through delivery and provides assistance after the birth. They're often a complement to a doctor or a midwife. That type of doula helps usher in a new life. It's not surprising, then, that a different kind of doula could provide support at the other end of a lifetime. Dr. Jackie Yeager is a board-certified physician in the specialties of family medicine and hospice and palliative care. In August 2017, she opened a solo palliative care practice in La Crosse, and as a certified death doula, she provides intensive bedside support for dying patients and for their families. She joins us now from our La Crosse studios. Dr. Yeager, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you, and thank you for having me today.
Well, tell us more about what a death doula is and what a death doula does.
Well, for me, there's really no one definition of a death doula. It's an evolving occupation. But for me, it's being a wise guide, someone who's been down this road before, who can then provide really a continuous presence and provide physical, emotional, and informational support to the family and to the person who is dying. I also see a death doula as someone who, at least it's my passion to be an educator and to really help the community learn how to be doulas for each other. I think it's a natural process, and it doesn't require necessarily a professional to manage it, but I think we've gotten so far away from knowing what to do at the time of death that we need a little bit of education out there.
And we will go back to that idea that all of us can kind of take some of those lessons and provide that support to others. But you are a certified death doula, and what does that mean? How does one become certified?
Well, right now, there's no one certifying agency out there. There are a handful of different organizations that provide training, and you can be certified. Now, I was trained in Boulder at the Conscious Dying Institute, and that consisted of two 5-day on-site trainings with a lot of reading and homework assignments in between times. Other programs are even online or maybe a weekend. So it's quite variable. The term, I think eventually we will coalesce into some sort of a certifying body. But right now, it can mean a lot of different things.
And at what point in the end-of-life process does a death doula generally get involved?
Well, ideally, we'd be involved months before the death and do what I call the dying time care plan, where we really sit down and say, you know, where do you want to be spiritually, emotionally, physically, psychologically, and in a practical sense when you die? Where are you in those areas right now, and what are the steps we need to take to get you there? Often, however, I get called in much later in the process, and some doulas really specialize in being called in at the time of death and after death. So it's variable, and I think there's things I can do to help regardless of where people are at, because sometimes you don't have 3 months' notice. Mm-hmm. But the sooner we can start talking about the possibility, and of course we all know we're going to die, so we could all actually have a plan in place and know who's going to do what when that time comes.
So that dying time care plan, it sounds like in a way it's kind of a roadmap for the person who is near the end of their life, for their loved ones, for maybe professionals who are involved in one way or another to know. Is it primarily to know what that person who is actively dying would like, how to respect their wishes?
Yeah, and it's like a birth plan in some ways. We know that when women put together birth plans, they have to understand that things may change, but at least we have some knowledge of what might be just supportive of that person. I had a patient recently, and he was in my palliative care practice, so we knew that day would come, but we didn't really know how soon. But he mentioned one day, I said, well, what kind of music would you want playing? And He said, well, no kumbaya music. I want the Eagles. And so when his family got there and this dying started rather suddenly, it was really grounding, I think, for everybody to just know that that's something we could do right now. And so everybody pulled up music on their phones and we started playing the music and felt like we were honoring his wishes. So it can be simple things and they can be planned out elaborately, but it's grounding for everyone.
We're talking with Dr. Jackie Yeager right now. She is a physician. She's also a certified death doula, and she provides services for dying patients and their families in the La Crosse area. And hospice has become much more familiar and accessible in the past few decades. Jackie, how does a death doula differ, or are they really complementary approaches?
Well, I have been involved as the hospice medical director here in La Crosse for 8 years, so I'm really attached to and appreciate the role of the hospice team and work together with them whenever possible. The difference is that because of various funding sources and regulatory processes, the hospice the members don't get to spend as much time at the bedside as they would probably like to. Whereas a doula really kind of, I cancel my appointments as much as I can for that time and really spend hours and hours at the bedside during those last 3, 4, 5 days of life.
And what are you doing when you are next to the bed or, you know, wherever the patient has been made comfortable? What are you doing to support them in this transition? Death is not always a very dramatic process. There are long times where there's kind of not a lot going on. What are you doing as the death doula?
Well, a lot of what I do is give anticipatory guidance and say, okay, and sort of reassure the people that are there that this is the normal process. It is proceeding normally. It's maybe happening a little quicker or a little slower than what you'd expected, and kind of just drawing out what their questions are, what their fears are. And then it's a really good time to tell stories about the patient who's the person who's dying, maybe do some singing. And I've had I had a family recently who there was some, like most families, there was some trouble in the past. And so we used the Ho'oponopono ritual, which is an ancient Hawaiian ritual that basically has been put to music. And I played it with each person going into the room separately. And basically the ritual just says, I love you, please forgive me, I'm sorry, and thank you. Kind of over and over again. And then I followed that up with each person spending some time in the room alone with one of their loved one's favorite songs. And it was so touching because this 20-something-year-old grandson had really been raised by his grandmother and spent a lot of time in the car listening to her music. So he knew the Elvis songs. He knew the words to all kinds of songs you wouldn't expect a 20-something-year-old to know. And so we played those things, and I could hear outside the door him singing to his grandmother. And it was beautiful.
Jackie, you just touched on something that I wanted to make sure that we talked a little about. You know, families can be messy, and relationships can be messy, and just because someone's life is ending doesn't mean that all suddenly gets resolved. And so you're there for the person who is dying. You're also there for their loved ones, but sometimes it must feel like you're walking a tightrope trying to provide support to two different parties who might be coming at it from a very different way.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of what you do as a doula is sort of just bring the families. There's always messy, and we get worse at these times, not better. And so just being that calm, sort of unattached presence in the room, you can model some calmer behaviors and just sort of maybe even speak about the elephant in the room and say, hey, I know there's been some hard times in your past. Tell me more about that. It's my favorite words, tell me more. It can diffuse some situations and let people just vent a little bit, maybe outside the room a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I see so much healing in families. And if I can just sort of point that out during the time, then the families can recognize it too.
Dr. Jackie Yeager is a board-certified physician and a certified death doula practicing in La Crosse. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Does the support that a death doula can provide sound like something you would welcome? If you've gone through the death of a person close to you, what kind of support do you wish you had had? Or maybe someone took on a similar role for you. Tell us how that helped. Call 800-642-1234. 1234. That's 800-642-1234 or tweet us at Central Time WPR. We'll pick up the conversation after this short break. Stay with us here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Judith Sears Poisson. Right now, we're picking up our conversation with Dr. Jackie Yeager. We're talking about her work as a certified death doula. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. If you have helped a loved one through the dying process, what support did you find most helpful? What questions do you have for Dr. Yeager about what services a death doula can provide and how they fit into other care? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or you can tweet us at Central Time WPR. And Jackie, we had a question from Chris from Adams, and she was wondering how much death doula services cost, and I'm sure there's a range, and whether insurance covers it.
Right now, insurance does not cover these type of services. This is really sort of a new phenomenon. I charge sort of 3 days in advance, and then refund anything that if it ends up being a shorter process. My desire is to not be thinking about how many hours I've been there, or you know, if she stays another 15 minutes, does that mean we have to pay another $15? And my charges are probably a little bit more because I'm also bringing my physician services. So I prescribe medications and I dose them and I really keep really close eye on things. The death doulas in general, it's a very wide range of charges. And in fact, some hospices are training volunteers to do some of this kind of work. Hmm. And so there might even be some free services available of this type.
You know, a couple weeks ago, Jackie, we did a show about green burials, and we talked about how far away we've gotten from how we used to prepare the bodies of our loved ones for burial. How would you describe the process of dying in the U.S. today?
Well, exactly. I mean, it in the last century, it's gone back from being something that happened naturally at home to something that happened secretly at the hospital and then whisk off to the morgue and the funeral home. And I think that we've discovered that being more present during the dying and even after the death helps with the grieving process. And so, you know, immediately after the death, I invite families to help me with the bathing, with just sort of a ritual bathing, maybe not an intensive one, but using some essential oils and soapy water, and just really the tactile part of washing your loved one is a very memorable way to say goodbye.
Let's go to the phone, and Jude is in Nisida. Hi, Jude.
Hi, how you doing today?
Good. What would you like to share?
Actually, my mother passed away about a year and a half ago. We had some issues with her being in the local nursing home because I'm here in Nisida. And they actually, it was very difficult, but they actually kind of kicked us out because they wanted her to go through palliative care. And I guess your guest speaker was talking about that. And all of this stuff was completely new to me. I had no idea what I was walking into. So, yes, what your guest speaker is talking about is it would be a wise idea for listeners to sit down and actually wrap your head around all of this, because it is quite difficult. It's very emotional. We do have family problems. So it was basically my brother and myself that really carried the brunt end of the burden. And when I walked into this, I was like, I had no idea. We ended up going to Otoma Hospice. They were brilliant. They really helped me understand a lot of things that I don't know, maybe the listeners don't understand, like active dying, what that is all about and how natural that is, and to be able to accept it as an aspect of life. Mm-hmm. But anyhow, the most important thing is they explained to me what actively dying is, what it looks like, and what you're experiencing at that point in time. And she also mentioned another thing that was really, really important to me.
Go ahead.
And that is some parents don't like sometimes their siblings, when they're really, really close, to watch them pass away, because she was just warning me about this. And what was really funny is the very last day that I was with my mother, I was always honest with my mom, and I told her, Mom, you'll have to excuse me because this sounds kind of funny, but I said, Ma, I really got to go to the bathroom. I'll be right back. And by the time I came back, and it was just moments, she had already passed.
Mm-hmm.
But having to understand that active dying really, really, really helped me settle my soul.
Yeah.
And we are also a spiritual family, too, so we also have that in our background. And that helps us out a lot.
And Jude, I'll share that actually when my mother passed away, the time that she actually passed was a very small window when no one was in the room with her. And that was very much in keeping with kind of, you know, her being a fairly solitary person. So thank you so much for sharing that, Jude. And Jackie, I want to ask you if you could briefly just explain for all of us what active dying is.
Right. Well, active dying is really just one stage of the dying process, and usually it's the point at which we realize the person is dying. Now, we may look back and say 3 days ago, yes, they were having some visions of loved ones that were dying, and you know, and it all makes sense then, but it's really the moment when you say, okay, I think our days, we're down to days and hours. And so, you know, the person is likely to be in and out of consciousness. They may be seeing loved ones and speaking with loved ones who've passed away. There's this near-death awareness that can be just the most amazing and beautiful thing if someone's there to explain it and not to have it be so frightening. There's physical changes, and it helps so much if you know sort of what to watch for. Their breathing is going to become irregular. There's going to be pauses in the breathing. Sometimes, often, there's a rattle in the back of the throat. What is that? What are we going to do to prevent that? And, you know, is it hurting the person? Pointing out that, you know, this is a normal time when we would stop eating and drinking and, you know, and sort of pointing out the benefits of following the body's natural inclinations, meaning that you don't overload the body with extra fluids that it has to manage as it goes through the process.
I want to make sure we get to at least one more caller, and Mary is in Milwaukee. Hi, Mary.
Hi, I wanted to tell Jackie this story. I only caught the first part of your information, but I'm a medical social worker, and my husband was in hospice and took a very bad turn for the worse and wasn't medically managed very well, and there was a rift in my family, and I was the only person taking care of him. There was no other family on any side involved. And on the day that he died, he needed, like, IV morphine. He was suffocating, obviously, but he needed IV morphine. It was 90 degrees out like it is now. I had no hospice help, and I know about death because I'm a medical social worker. I dealt with that in the hospital. I sub hospice all the time. But I needed somebody for me to talk to me.
Oh, gosh, yeah. I'm so sorry.
Mary, thank you so much for sharing that. And Jackie, I want to make sure that we do get to touch on this. Mary said very eloquently, even though this is more or less her field, she could have used help. She needed help. And, you know, we talked about the fact that there aren't that many death doulas around yet. They might be not be in the area where a family is. Are there elements of what you do, Jackie, that any of us could take on to ease our loved one's transition?
Yes. I mean, I think realizing that just because you're a medical person, when it's your loved one that's dying, you do need that help. And then sort of asking for it and maybe planning ahead. Who are some close friends who I could call when I need that time? What is my community? If it's not my family, what is my chosen community to bring around me in those times? But certainly, I guess the biggest thing would be just asking for help. You know, if that hospice isn't doing it, call another one. But recognizing that you can't do it all yourself and survive is really important.
What's the one most important type of support that you feel that you're able to give, especially the person who is passing out of this life?
I think giving them my calm presence so that their loved ones can just settle in and grieve maybe gives them a little bit of peace and ability to just pass without having to worry so much about their family. So I'm there for the person, just like the caller said, the mother is always a mother, always worrying about her children, and so maybe waits till they leave the room. But just knowing I'm there to take care of the family, I think helps the person pass more peacefully.
And if someone would like to find out if there is a death doula in their area, what would you recommend is the best way to do that?
Well, right now, there isn't one single clearinghouse, so I would just Google that, death doula, and your area, and see what happens. I know some doulas will travel, and I've even considered incorporating some kind of coaching over the phone for families that live far from me. But I know there's three or four different people working in the Madison and Milwaukee areas.
And you also said that some hospice programs are training volunteers who can provide similar services, if not exactly calling it death doulas.
Yes, or they may provide something called death doulas that looks a lot less intensive than what I do. So you really have to check out what they mean by that term.
Well, Jackie, thank you so much for joining us today. Dr. Jackie Yeager is board certified in the specialties of family medicine and hospice and palliative care. She's also a certified death doula and provides intensive bedside support for dying patients and their families.